All right, so he want let me go ahead and write down the names and see so that I can write down the passages for each person, because I will look to see what I'll go ahead and join and get on that book and chapter and passage as well as you recite, to see if I need to help you along the way so I know where you are. So who wants to go first? I mean, I would just write get the order down right now. Once we did that, then we can start.
I can go first.
So, Karis, you want to go first? Okay, and what is the passage you're going to be reciting again?
I'm going to do Psalm 73, 24 through 26.
Psalm 73, 24 to 26. Okay. Right. And do we have someone to volunteer to go next after Karis?
I can go next, or Julie can go however you like.
No, you still go first. I'll go third. That's cool.
Okay, so Jonathan.
Yeah, I'm going to do Matthew 28, 18 through 20.
18 to 20, okay. And Julie.
I will do Proverbs 3, 5 through 6.
You'll be doing only two verses?
I've tried and tried and tried to memorize, and that's as far as I can get.
Okay, that's fine. And let's see who's next. Alan and Anthony wants to go fourth and fifth.
Jeremiah 29:11.
Alan, you want to go fourth?
Yeah.
Jeremiah 29:11. That's just one verse. Did you have more than that?
I tried my best.
That's all you got? Okay. And Anthony.
Yeah, I'm going to do Psalm 23.
You make up for everybody else, right?
Well, I go last. I'll act like a chicken.
right, very good then. All right, so should I assume that everyone will be reciting from the NIV version, or is that incorrect?
I'm reciting from ESV.
ESV, okay.
Same here. And Psalm 23 from ESV.
Okay. ESV. Everybody else, NIV?
I'll email.
Yeah, NIV.
Yes.
Okay.
NIV, yeah.
NIV, all right. All right, so let me go ahead and get to Psalm 73. All right. I missed that again. All right, I'm ready for you, Carice, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Psalm 73, 24, and 26. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Very good. Did everyone hear that?
Yeah, sounded good. Yeah.
Yes. Sounded good? All right. So you understood what she was saying, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Thank you.
Say a little amen at the end.
Did you? Amen. All right. Well, good job.
Thank you.
See, it wasn't that bad. You must have done have been studying verses since you were in Sunday school, huh?
Maybe not memorization, not. But me and my boyfriend, we try and memorize a verse a week, a verse of scripture a week.
Wow. Okay. So you've That's been awesome. Training for that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Little did you know you were going to be doing that in a speech class, huh? All right, very good. Well, thank you. Good job. I heard everything clearly. What my suggestion would be as you, because when we're doing things from memory, sometimes we tend to go too fast. So kind of articulate a little bit more, especially when you get to the punctuations and things like that, so that it's a little bit easier for people to hear and understand. So other than that, great job.
Okay, thank you.
John?
All right, so mine was Matthew 18, sorry, 28.
So let me get to that very quickly. It takes more time trying to change from one version to the next. So,
yeah, no problem.
18 to 20. All right, I'm ready whenever you are.
All right, it says, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And surely I will be with, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age.
Very good. Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
Is there a little clap I hear somewhere? All right. Yeah, the rate was great. The pauses was appropriate, so good job.
Thank you.
And Julie? Thank you. All right, Julie, whenever you're ready.
Okay. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil.
All right.
Next one.
Well, you're surprised. Great job. Was that okay? I think you did that on purpose. You surprised me there.
It's hard, you know, because I had that brain injury 10 years ago, and memorizing stuff is super tough. So
I understand that, and well, you actually did more than two verses.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you didn't even miss a word.
Well, I took your advice right at the beginning. Go slow.
Right.
So that piece of advice right there actually literally helped me on the spot.
Good, good. So don't go too fast and kind of slow down. And especially when you get to the end, you can slow down to indicate that you're finishing and things like that. So it's easier for you to get things, think through things as you're reciting it. Good job.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right. See what you can do. Okay, next we'll have Alan. Is going to do Jeremiah. All right, Alan.
All right, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future.
All right. That's a very good rate. And now, are you sure you couldn't add another verse to that, Alan? Because you flew through that so fast. I don't think you have a memorization problem, sir.
He's a pro.
it took me like 30 minutes. Or something.
It took you 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Well, if you added another 30 minutes, you could add two more verses.
I will next time.
All right. Well, maybe next time, instead of doing the 10 verses for the reading one, you memorize 10 verses, right? Is that what you're going to do?
No problem.
Okay. Well, good job.
Thanks.
Last but not least is our own Anthony, who's going to do Psalm 23.
Yeah,
memorized that since he was five.
I can't believe it. I have never done it. And I was like, I've got to do it. This is like, everybody knows this.
Everybody knows this. Okay.
Are you ready?
Almost. Yes.
Okay. This one's the ESV.
Oh, I need to get to ESV. Sorry.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
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 And we can add good. That.
Excellent. Awesome.
That was very good, yeah.
Yeah, nice, thank nice, you. Nice rate, not pace, not rushing, and very good. So all the words were well articulated and very good.
Anthony, a friend of mine sent a group text this morning needing prayers. And that's exactly what I sent her, what you just read.
Nice. Love it.
Wow. And you didn't even know he was going to say it tonight, huh? Well, that's great. Thank you guys for your recitation. I usually just by listening to scripture like that, you know, it is a good moment for me. I like this moment where we either reading scripture or reciting scripture. And I, as I said, if you haven't been doing that, like Curtis said, maybe start memorizing scripture. Before you know it, you'll be able to memorize whole chapters. It's one verse at a time. You finish this one, add another one to it, add another one to it, and before you know it, you have the whole chapter down. You know, so it's but for some it may take a lot of training and practice, but for others it may come a lot easier. So just so you can do this. All right. So the next scripture presentation will be a reading, let me go ahead and get to the class side so at least we can see what's coming next here.
Mine.
And let me remind those of you who are watching the recording for this week, obviously you will be submitting a report for your scripture recitation assignment. And this report is due, by the end of, is it the end? Let's see, let me see what this is. Submit report, and it's due. Oh, it actually was due tonight. Okay. I can accept the report if it's not submitted tonight, that's fine. But if you are, because I know trying to organize to find your own audience and things like that to do your presentation, some of you may have some difficulties with that. If you didn't and you have the report ready to submit, go ahead and submit it. But I probably would not count it late as long as you get it done in the next few days. Okay, so make sure to submit that report. Now, for those of you who presented live, since we had a live audience. Oh, my, I completely forgot one of our students. As once I said we had a live audience, I forgot we had Mia in the classroom. I wish she had said something. Oh, well. Mia?
Yes.
Okay, Mia, I'm going to have to ask you to speak a little louder. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, can everybody hear Mia?
Yes, I got her.
Okay. Mia, I am so sorry. I've been so focusing on the people online. I overlooked you. I apologize for that, okay? Oh man, I feel so bad. Mia,
yes.
Were you ready to recite your passage?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Mia, I want you to be a little bit more outspoken and stop me if that ever happens again. Please stop me and say I'm here, okay? I don't want you to be missed out just because I shouldn't have forgotten, but I do want you to speak up a little bit and let me know that you are there and ready to present, okay?
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Mia, let me ask you this. There is a microphone in front of the on the podium, I think. Can you see it?
Yes.
Because I'd like to hear your voice a little bit better. And it looks like the ambient mic is not picking you up well enough.
Is it this mic that I'm holding?
Yeah, if you see that, do you see the mic on the podium? I mean, on the lectern?
Yes, I see it.
You see it? Okay. Can you turn it on? There is a little button at the top that you can slide, I think, either probably to the left or to the right to turn it on. Once you turn it on, you will see a green light. Did it come on?
I switched it on, but the light didn't come on.
The light didn't come on? Okay. All right. Maybe it's out of batteries. Since I haven't been using it, I guess maybe they put batteries in it. Okay. Well, without that mic, I will need you to kind of speak a little loud. Louder.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you know which verse I'm doing?
Yeah. Why don't you tell me, please? I think you sent me something, but there are several of them.
Yes. I chose 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8-9.
Okay. 2 Corinthians 4, 8-9.
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm in the Revised Standard Version.
RSV, Revised Standard Version. Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
If you would give me just a minute so I can get there, please.
Okay.
Well, it looks like this is one of the versions that I don't have. All right. Well, I'm going to have to trust you on that, Mia, because I can't follow with you. So so go ahead whenever you're ready.
Okay. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed.
All right. Just like I said earlier, it looks like you could add five more verses to that, Mia. Because you really flew through it, so there was no issues there with memorization. So good job. It was a good rate, and there was no problem. I think I heard you. I could hear you well. So thank you for speaking at a level where we can hear you. So everybody could hear Mia, correct?
Yeah, sounded great.
Awesome. All right. Okay. Now, just to make sure, I have nobody that I overlooked again. All right. I don't want that to happen again.
Somebody sneaking in the classroom.
I know. And I it's really small the way I'm looking at it right now. I mean, I knew, I checked with Mia, I knew she was there before, and I feel so bad that I overlooked her. But so for sure, there's nobody else that I'm overlooking. So we're ready to go to move on to what I was going to do in the first place. Okay, so let's go ahead. And so I was showing the class site, and I was talking about the report that those of you who will be reciting this to an outside audience will need to post for me to get for you to get credit for this assignment. Those of you who recited live tonight, you're good. This is it. You don't have a report to do because we were your audience for this. Okay, now. Next thing that I need to call your attention on before we move on. At the end of this week, I believe we need to submit. You need to select and submit a working outline for your informative speech. Now, I know you won't have a chance to actually talk about informative speech probably until week four, but at least, but you won't have to submit your formal outline until the end of that week either. So, which means we'll have some time to make revision if you need to on that working outline, if you get it done and submitted by the end of this week. So we'll, in case you're thinking we haven't talked about it yet, but we're already submitting outline, it's just to give you a head up and heads up in working ahead and getting start selecting your topic, which we'll be talking about tonight as well. So make sure if you want to, when you submit your working outline, I'll be able to take a look at it and give you feedback before you make it into your formal final outline, which is due the week after that. So, and the actual informative speech is not due to be delivered until week five. And this is where I would definitely need to know who will be presenting live, because those speeches are much longer. And if I don't know how many people are going, therefore I probably won't be able to plan accordingly to know how much material we'll be able to get in addition to the presentation. So if you are If you did not attend live tonight, I'm talking to the people watching the recording. If you did not attend live tonight, but plan to deliver either one or two of the other speeches live, then you will need to let me know so I can count on you. Now, for those of you who are with me tonight, am I to assume that you will be live for those speeches or, okay? John? Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And the reading, there is a reading, a scripture reading that's due next week. That one we'll do the same way that as we did the memorization. If you attend live, you will read your scripture live. If you are going to be doing this asynchronously, where you either call the voicemail to read your scripture, it will be ready for you to do that. For those of you who want to do it that way, who only can do it that way, I understand. And if the other way you can submit your scripture reading is by recording it and submit a link, I believe, to where is that? Now, for the scripture reading part, it does require everyone. I think it is probably at the first part. Yeah, there you go. Scripture reading work. Submit scripture reading work. This one, it does require everyone to submit that the one-page report. Because it takes you through some steps that it asks you to show how you apply those steps as you are preparing for the reading. And that's part of the reason everyone has to submit that report. Whether you deliver it live in class, online, or do it in one of the other ways, everyone will need to submit that one-page report. Okay, so for those of you who do it live with me next Thursday evening, then after that, you can go back and upload the one-page report. Or if you already get it done and ready to submit it, you can do that before that reading as well. So it's up to you, okay? All right, so I think we know where we're going for this end of this week and the beginning of next week. So that should be sufficient roadmap for now. Let's go ahead and get going with our class tonight. Is there any questions about any of those things? Everything is clear. You probably have already gone through all of that. I like to try to be on the same page with everybody so that we remind you of the things that you need to be focusing on. If you are a master's student, then that you probably think, oh, I know that already. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. But we know I'm still looking at a lot of students who haven't submitted a single assignment. So so it's harder for that group. All right, so tonight your reading assignment was quite a bit, wasn't it? You are supposed to read four chapters. Obviously, I am not going to be talking about all four chapters tonight. Time definitely would not allow us to do that. And now you had to read chapters five, six, seven, and eight. Am I correct? Okay. So, and 5, 6, 7, and 8. Chapter 5, which deals with audience analysis, your quiz was focused on that for the most part. So you probably had to read that more closely than the other chapters. And then chapter 6, which talks about finding and refining your topic, that I would be talking about it more than the other ones. And chapter 7, which deals with research, building responsible knowledge, okay, that I will just do a quick overview on that one as well. Just chapters 5 and 7, we'll just do a quick overview, and we will focus primarily on chapters 6 and 8. Chapter 8 deals with supporting material, which is an important topic for us to discuss as we getting ready to start doing our major speeches in the next couple of weeks. So, but just for the sake of us doing a quick overview on chapters, particularly chapter 5, a quick overview, what I want to really, you remember when we talked about the seven elements in the process, in the public speaking process, and we said one of the elements was the most important among all the sevens. Although all sevens are important, there's one of them that we agreed was the most important. And that's the one that chapter 5 really deals with, because it's about audience, right? It's about audience. And we said, your presentation is not for you. It's for your audience. So you should always, always keep your audience in the forefront of your thought when it comes to preparing a presentation. Just like you would not give the same presentation about investing or preparing for retirement to a group of 7-year-old as you would to a group of 50-year-old, because they are different stages in their lives. So you would not approach the topic the same way because you're dealing with different audience. Okay, so the audience is critical. Now, one passage that I found in Acts that really shows how Paul adapt his a message to his audience is in Acts 17, verses 16 to 34. Okay, so I'll be reading this passage, and I want you to identify some of the things that were said and how those things were specifically for that particular audience that Paul was addressing, okay? Paul in Athens, okay? While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and We would like to know what they mean. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you." Introduction of the speech with a preview and everything, all right? "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of the land. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, 'We are his offspring.' Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he had set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, 'We want to hear you again on this subject.' At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris, and a number of others." We could probably take a look back at this last few verses when we talk about persuasion, by the way. So what were some of the things very quickly that were said that you could say, oh, okay, this was because of this particular audience. He said this.
Yeah, well, you have him and he addresses the people of the city knowing that they're Gentiles, because that's who Paul was sent to. But also, he talks about just the different gods and idols that are a part of their life and their worship and their temples. And so he knows this because Paul's an educated man. So he knows his audience and he addresses them in that manner. And this area we know is full of all kinds of Greek mythological gods, from Ares to Zeus worship, all kind of different things. So he's addressing them in those ways. And you can see that he's not attacking them, but he's saying, you are very religious. I see your idols. I see even that you have a plaque from your unknown God. And so he's very conscious of that when he's speaking to them, because he doesn't want to deter from the fact that he wants these people to be saved. And so it's very important for him to address his audience as Gentiles who are in idol and mythological false god worship. And so he's drawing from that.
Very good. Yeah. Is there another statement that you picked up on, the rest of you?
I don't know if you can say any better than Anthony did.
Okay. All right. Well, there was a specific statement when down at the end of verse 28, that's specific directly kind of pull them in. Okay, it's not just me. I'm not the only person saying this, but some of your own poets have said this. This is another way to relate to an audience so that you cite sources that they respect, that they are familiar with. Okay, because if I'm just quoting me or a passage of the Bible, you probably would say, well, I don't believe this. But you believe your poets, therefore I will relate to them. And this is the same thing that you may want to do as well by looking for sources that are authoritative, that you believe your audience will say, oh, if so-and-so said that, I know this person, I am familiar with their work, therefore I think you are onto something here. Okay, so especially when it comes to persuasion, using sources that the audience can relate to and are familiar with is pretty powerful when it comes to adapting to your audiences as well, okay? So keep that in mind, which basically since we talk about sources that your audience respect, that's chapter 7 talks about research, okay? So researching for your speeches is important. And I do want to make that make that point so that we don't just identify a source because it comes first from your search, from an online or Google or a Google search, okay? You identify sources based on their important and authoritative to your topic, and so that people can look at this source as a source that is acceptable, that they respect, okay? You can find all kinds of sources online, but not all of them are created equal. Everyone can post anything online, so be sure to evaluate your sources. Look at the author and don't cite things like, you know, just a website that has no author. Okay, if the website doesn't have an author, then you probably would need to continue to research and figure out, okay, who is if you find an organization that is that is a corporate type of writer, then find more about this organization. What do they stand for? What their agenda? Because we have websites that may be trying to advocate things. Therefore, often they may not be objective. They would be subjective in their approach because they will want you to focus on one area, the agenda that they want to push on to you. So you need to keep that in mind when it comes to research. Evaluate your sources. Don't always just get the first hit that comes up because that may not necessarily be the most authoritative or appropriate source, okay? So do research not just online, but also in our library. In fact, I would say our library may have databases that already have been vetted. The sources on those library, college library, university libraries, they often are already vetted, which means they're not just online sources, but they are in a database that's already set, you know, for you. So if you've have not done a lot of research using our library resources, I would encourage you to do that, especially for when you start preparing for those speeches, because we do want you to have good sources that people respect and they can lean to. Okay? All right. And as we move to talking about chapter 6, I want to kind of take you back a little bit to chapter 3. Okay, because chapter 3 kind of set the scene for us, set the stage for us, I meant, in terms of the steps that you can follow to prepare a speech, if you remember that. Okay, chapter 3, you found 7 7 steps. Okay. The first step was finding and focus your topic. Okay. 7 steps to preparing to speech preparation. All right. Finding and focus your topic. Step 2, gather supporting material. Okay. Which involve research. Step 3, organize the body of your speech, which involves outlining, which we've already kind of have talked about. Add introduction, transition, and conclusion. That's basically finalize your outline from a working outline to a formal outline, because when you do that, you have all the parts there in that outline. Prepare a formal outline, which is the final step. Practice, and present your speech. So those were the steps that you looked at, you read about from chapter 3. Now, for today, we'll be talking about step 1, finding and focusing or refining your topic. And then we'll be talking about gather supporting information, which is basically studying the different types of supporting material that you can use to support points in a speech, okay? So, now for some of you, you may already have your topic in mind. You know exactly what you're going to be talking about for all 2 major speeches, right? And for others, what I have found is it can be more difficult to get settled on a topic, because you may have a lot of different interests, that things that you want to talk about. However, there may not be sufficient resources or out there for the topic you want to you think you might want to talk about. So you may want to have several options, what we call a brainstorm, you know, where you have several ideas, you put them down and start eliminating the ones that you decide, oh, no, I don't think that's a good one. Oh, no, that's a good one. Then once you identify that, there may be a few things that you need to keep in mind. Obviously, any chapter, any topic you select has to be something that you're interested in, because if you're not interested in it, you probably will not be, you're not invest the time to really research it and finding more about it. However, because we said your topic or your speech or your presentation is not only for you, it's actually not for you, it is for your audience, you need to think about topic that would be applicable or relevant to your audience. So a good topic involves you, and it should also involve your audience. There is a audience analysis form, I think, in chapter 5, that maybe if you really want to see what your audience think, especially for us, since we don't have everyone attending live. So besides looking at their introductory post and see some of the things they are involved with, and it may be tough for us to really know who our audience is gonna be because of there's not enough information there. So whatever topic you decide on, you need to understand that this is a topic that will help you develop your expertise in that area, which means you'll hopefully know a little bit more about the topic after you research and do a presentation on it than you did before. And in a class like this, this is actually one of the courses that can be really enriching if each student is really investing in that to do solid research and find good, significant topic, not just things that is so, you know, because some topic can be a little bit too light, right? So when it's almost like giving your opinion about everything. It doesn't really based on solid research, okay? So if you investigate or dedicate sometimes to really do solid research, this can be the most enriching class because we have 17 students, we're looking at 17 speeches on different topics. That can be really good, okay? So I do want you to really take this seriously and find topics that are worthwhile that you think you can really dig deep into researching and finding good sources and information to present to in your speeches. Now, do some of the things that you can do to select in selecting topics. In addition to, you know, put things down and start highlight, eliminate, and before you come up to one that you feel good about, first, you might want to list some interests, things that you have interest in, okay? If you know enough about the audience, then you could also list some of the interests that you think the audience has, okay? And then see the topic that you finally decide on, does it meet both of those criteria? Is it both interest you and interest the audience? That will be the common point there to settle on the topic. So, because if the topic only interests you but not the audience, you probably have a bigger challenge to make it relevant to the audience. So you would have to show the audience why they need to listen to this. On the other hand, if they already have an interest in it, your work is less in terms of trying to persuade them to listen because they're already into it. So this is why it's important to at least find things that you think will be relevant to your audience, not only to get them to be motivated to listen to it, but to lessen your work in terms of trying to persuade them, you need this, you know, you need this to hear this information, all right? So I am sure if you're giving a speech on how to invest, I'm sure you probably have quite a bit of interest because everybody wants to know how to make money, right? Okay, so this is what I mean by finding things that is beneficial and the audience can get some of it. And other ways, other things that you can do, really, I can't tell you how many ideas have come to my head when I read things, when I listen to the radio. I listen to NPR a lot, and which is really, there are a lot of good discussion on this station. So there are a lot of things that you can really get ideas from just by through advertisement, for example. We talk about how advertisements sometimes use what we call exaggerating claims, all right? So those claims can bring ideas into your head that you said, you know, I'd like to investigate this further and learn more about this and present a speech, okay? So things that come up in those ads and so forth. So those are some of the ideas that you can use when it comes to really trying to find a topic. And I know for some of you, you may already have it. Anyone already have a topic you're thinking about? Okay. Is that for your informative speech? For both?
Sorry, it's for both.
For both. All right. Very good. All right. So the rest of you may be still thinking. You may have a ton of ideas. It's taking a little bit of time to really boil it down to what you want to settle on. So, but those are just some ideas. So, questions that you may want to ask yourself when it comes to selecting a topic. You may want to ask this question: does this topic fit the assignment? Obviously, if you're giving an informative speech and for some reason your topic or your thesis is more a persuasive speech, then that would mean you did not really meet the requirement for that assignment. That doesn't necessarily mean you will fail that speech, because when I show you the evaluation forms, you will see there are different categories or areas that you'll be graded on for the speeches. So because the speech may not have been a persuasive, an informative speech, you that doesn't necessarily mean you'll fail that particular speech. Yeah, it means you will be losing points for the area of relevance and meeting the assignment criteria for the assignment. Another question you may want to ask is, can I learn, top one, could I give a speech on this topic in the time available? Okay, our major speeches won't be more than 8 minutes. It will be between 6 and 8 minutes. So there are topics that may be so broad that there's no way you can do justice to that topic in that amount of time, which is why we'll be talking about refining that topic to make it a little bit more feasible to work with. Can I learn enough about this topic to give a responsible speech? Okay, this is what I mean by, for some reason, there are some topics that can be too trivial that if you select it, as soon as you announce that topic, you may get a sigh from the audience, all right? You know, so because there may be something that is overstated, people talk about that quite a lot. So as soon as, you know, a speech like, for example, don't drink and drive, all right? Everyone has at least heard, you know, something that about that. And unless there has been some new development, you know, about this topic, something new that people have not heard before, you could probably surprise an audience if that's the case. You know, they think you are going to be talking about something that they already know about, and then you come up with something fairly new that they didn't know about. Does that make sense? So something relevant, okay? And then last question, why would I want to speak on this topic? It should mean something to you. If it doesn't mean something to you, the audience will see it in your demeanor, the way, in your nonverbal, because you won't look excited. It's almost like I'm just doing this for the assignment, but I couldn't care less about this topic, okay? So that's not going to be a good thing to attract an audience on something that you have not shown, you know, enthusiasm about. So moving on. Now that we've talked about, you know, the different things that you need to consider when it comes to actually coming up with a topic. Now, once you come up with that topic, how do you bring it, you know, to a manageable area that you can focus on? So you could have a subject and you kind of start breaking it down and you see so many areas within that one subject and you have to narrow it so that you can focus your research. Because if it's too broad, then you probably won't know where to start. Okay? So some of the things that you can do to narrow a topic down is to make sure you have your purpose statement identified. What is it exactly you want to accomplish? Okay? What is it exactly, what result you want from your audience? Do you want them to be informed of this, or do you want them to be persuaded so that they can take action on this? So you would have to determine that. So our general purpose is already given to us for this speech, all right? Your general purpose, it says the first speech is to inform, right? Okay, so that's your general purpose. Now, you're going to have to narrow this down further so that you have a specific purpose, which includes your general purpose within it. So, for example, you would want to include the actual audience in your specific purpose, okay? What do you think, who is your audience for those speeches that you're gonna be giving? I want to hear an answer. Actually, I know you know the answer, but I want to hear it.
Our audience is our classmates.
Classmates, college classmates. Okay, so because of that, you have some consideration that you're going to make when it comes to deciding the type of information you're going to be including in your speech. Okay, the type of examples that you will give, type of stories that you will give, and things that are appropriate for that age group and education level. Okay. So you would, where it says to inform my audience about da-da-da-da, you'd actually put to inform my classmates, because that gives you a visual, an exact visual of the audience that you'll be addressing. And because when I said to inform my audience, it tends to be general, you know, audience, okay, what, who is the audience? Is it a group of 7-year-olds? Is it a group of 50-year-old, my classmate? Okay, so those specific statements help you to focus more on what you want to say and you need to say, okay? So other your persuasive speech will be to persuade my classmate about da-da-da-da, okay? So those are the way that you would word your specific purpose and to narrow your research, to narrow the topic down further so that you can focus your research to know exactly what type of information you'll be looking for this speech. So what does the specific purpose do? It narrows your topic down. It provides focus for your research. Because once you know what you want your audience to get out of your speech, then you would focus to find out the specific information that you need. And one thing to keep in mind, you don't want to have a specific purpose that is stated with, like, you know, 5 lines or 3-4 sentences. Okay, as you are reading through this chapter, you read about double focus, you know, you read about when you have 2 different sentences, I want you to do this and that, you start kind of deviate a little bit. So you want to make sure your purpose statements, just like your thesis statement, as you will be seeing in just a second here, it should be stated as one single phrase or sentence. Actually, your thesis will be one single declarative sentence, your specific purpose need to be a single phrase, single sentence, not 2, not 3, just 1. Okay. And you need to focus specifically on what you want the audience to do as a result of listening to that information. That's what the thesis, the specific purpose does. Okay. So as you test your specific purpose, you may want to ask those few questions here. We've already said some of that. Does it offer listeners something new? If you're talking about don't drink and drive, for example, as I just said earlier, well, is there something new that you're bringing along that the audience probably has not had heard before on that topic? Do I have a single purpose? Okay, not 2, not 3. Is my topic significant enough? Okay, does it avoid triviality? It's not trivial. Okay, I'm not just showing you how to swing a baseball bat. Okay, that would be a long swing. Okay, so does it avoid technicality? Just like a speech can be too trivial, a speech could be too technical given the audience that you're addressing. So you probably, if you're giving a speech that you decide is really technical, then you would probably have a lot of work to do in breaking things down to your audience level, okay? And the other question that you may want to ask is, can I handle it in the time allotted? Okay, you have 6 to 8 minutes to present. The purpose that I come up with, would it really, will I be able to do, to really develop things appropriately in that amount of time? Okay. Any questions so far? Okay. So, let's, before we look at thesis statement, let's see if we could identify some things that is wrong with some of those statements as a specific purpose statement. We may not be able to go through all of them. There are seven examples, but I would identify some of them that I'd like you to think through, okay? It says, evaluate and revise the following defective purpose statement into more effective purpose statement, okay? So first you have to identify if something is wrong with it first. Okay, if you can identify that something is wrong with it, then you could decide how you would state those differently, okay? Let's look at, think back to those questions that we just looked at, okay? Number one, to inform the audience how to brush their teeth.
Probably want to do something about their health, because brushing your teeth is healthy.
Okay, but do you really want to talk to a group of college students about how to brush their teeth?
No, that's not a good one.
Okay, so you probably could use the topic, like, but you would have to rethink this.
Yeah.
In terms of what, as you said, health benefits and so on, things like that could be something, but not necessarily the method, unless you really have discovered some new ways, you know, to brush your teeth. Then that would be a little bit, that will fall in the category of trivial or purpose, because it's really the, unless you are talking to a group of 3-year-old, then that would be too trivial. Okay. Second one is about the same thing as well. So you could probably rework that and find something new, but let's look at number three, to inform the audience about nuclear physics. Jonathan?
Yeah, I don't think so. Cause I feel like that's like, I don't even know what they're talking about.
So you would think that is too technical.
Yeah, way too technical.
Okay. But is there a way that you could still apply, I mean, find an area in that?
Yeah, absolutely. Subject? I think if you make it more of a understand, like word it in a different way, or maybe talk about specifically the example you'll give, and that maybe the common person would understand, because yeah, that's way too technical.
Okay. Mia, any idea?
Nuclear physics for dummies.
Nuclear physics for dummies. Was that Julie or Mia? It was Julie, right?
That was me.
Okay. All right. So now I'm going to be the devil's advocate here. So you're just calling your audience dummies.
Nuclear physics for the uninformed.
I was kidding, actually, because we've seen a lot of books out there.
You can go to the bookstore and have a whole section on dummy books.
Dummy book, yeah. I was just kind of making light of this, because I. Yeah. Anyway, so you could identify an area that you want to focus on in that has to do with nuclear physics that your audience may not have probably used of. How nuclear plants, you know, and so forth, how do they use? And you could probably, that doesn't mean this is a subject that you could never have a speech on, but you would have to look at it differently in terms of what you're going to be focusing on, okay? Mia, let me ask you about number four. What do you think is wrong with number four? To inform the audience about indoor and outdoor gardening.
I don't understand the question.
It's what?
I don't understand the question.
Is there something wrong with a specific purpose that would be stated in that format to inform the audience about indoor and outdoor gardening. Think back to the questions that we're asked you to think about when it comes to refining your topic and testing your topics.
I'm not sure.
Okay, can anyone help Mia?
Probably again, go back to the audience. They probably aren't into gardening. I don't know. Maybe it's just not appropriate topic.
Okay. How about the focus here? Is indoor gardening the same as outdoor gardening?
Well, you got two different aspects of gardening.
Okay. So you may have too much to cover here if you want to do justice to any of them. So you would want to kind of reduce, you know, talking either one or the other, and but not both in the same, in this, the one speech. Okay, so you'd have to create two different speeches, one for indoor gardening and one for outdoor gardening, and for that amount of time that you have. Okay. And finally, let's look at number five that says to persuade the audience to boycott stupid commencement ceremonies. Once you hear this purpose, what comes to your head, to your mind?
That it's stupid.
That is stupid.
And if it's stupid, do we really have to persuade them?
All right, very good. So,
crazy.
It's what? Was that Alan?
Yeah, I said it's crazy.
It's crazy. What's crazy about it?
I mean, you should never tell like the audience to do like such a thing, you know? Because it's not
okay.
Not right.
What word in there is would be considered as subjective?
Boycott, like stupid commencement.
Yeah, stupid. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as soon as you say that, the audience think, okay, you have an agenda. So you're not going to be objective about this because your mind is already set on this. Okay, so that's what we said. Word has value. So when you say word, it really communicate what you're thinking sometimes. And you probably give yourself away that you really against this thing. And therefore, you probably will focus on one side and not really looking at other options or opportunities that may be available. So, and persuasion and also involve informing. So if you're informing an audience before you persuade them, you're going to have to look at all different areas, not just one aspect of that topic. So you would have to be a little bit broader so that the audience has ample information to make a decision. All right. So can this be corrected?
Right. I think you just took out the word stupid.
Okay. So yeah, that may do the trick. Now, even the word boycott itself also, you may think about a different word in there as well. Definitely stupid should be out. But you probably might want to kind of rephrase this if you still want to make your purpose be this way. So there will be some rearrangement you might want to do. Does this make sense?
Yes. Helpful.
Okay. Very good. So let's move on. Before we take a break, let's go ahead and take a quick look at the other step that you need to do to continue to refine your topic is looking at thesis statement. Okay, so you get your specific purpose, you get your general purpose, which already given to you. You have decided on your specific purpose, and then now you want to have your thesis statement, okay? Now, if you looked at the outline that we looked at, your thesis statement is often stated in your introduction, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, your specific purpose is usually for you. It's not, you're not going to necessarily say, my specific purpose is to do this. You know, you don't, this is for you to direct you in preparing that speech, to direct your research and figure out what you want from the audience. But the thesis statement will be included in your introduction, because this is basically a quick synopsis of what this speech is about. Okay? So your specific purpose should be a one sentence statement, one declarative statement that reflects a clear sense of purpose. Obviously, it does include, kind of go back to your purpose and look at that as you put together your thesis statement. It's basically state what the speech is about. Okay? And it needs to be clearly stated so that everyone hears that, they know what you're going to be talking about in your speech. Okay? A thesis statement condenses your message into a single declarative sentence. Now, can you have a thesis that is stated as a question?
I don't think so. I think the question is more for kind of drawing the audience in the introduction. Is that right?
Yeah, you could, if you're talking about the question in terms of like as an attention getter, is that what you're talking about?
Oh, yes, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, a question can be used to as an attention getter, which we call rhetorical question, as at the end to really get the audience to think a little bit. And the rhetorical question, obviously, you're not anticipating the audience to give you an answer. It's more to get them to think, to see how you're going to answer that question that you ask at the beginning. Okay, so that's a good technique actually for get attention, getting the audience's attention at the beginning of a speech. In addition to telling a story or tell a joke, quote something, shock the audience. All those are examples of how you could get the audience attention, as we've looked at from one of the chapters we've talked about before. So, anyone else think that you cannot, can you state a thesis statement as a question?
I would say no, just because on the, right here in the explanation, it says declarative, and I feel like.
Okay, yeah. So if it's a declarative sentence, then it's not a question, because obviously you have established a statement that this is what I'm going to be talking about. If you state it as a question, then therefore, okay, what's the answer?
Yeah.
So you don't, it needs to be a complete sentence, not two, not three, okay? Just one sentence that really summarizes the speech in a way that condenses the message of your presentation, okay? And as I said, this statement usually will be included in your introduction. If you do a good job having a good thesis statement, sometimes the thesis statement can double up for your preview, because the other part of your introduction is having a preview where you alert the audience of the key points you're going to be developing in your body of the speech. So the thesis statement sometimes can already include those things in it that doubles up as your preview. If you state it where it doesn't include all the points, then you would have a separate preview. But if it doesn't, then you don't need a separate preview, because it already does what the preview statement would have done as well. So it kind of plays both roles, okay? All right, so let's see if you could come up very quickly with some idea, some thesis for those statements, all right? Let's see. Here is a topic to introduce a service that may be more easily, you know, is easier for us to think about, you know, how to come up with a thesis statement for this one. Second bullet point, introducing a service available to students on campus. What kind of a thesis you think? Okay, first, let's see if we can come up with a specific purpose for something like that, for a topic like this.
I would say introducing a new service just would help students. So you could say a new tutoring service, mm-hmm. and that's going to be beneficial to them and very important for their learning. So that could be a particular service to introduce them to that would be beneficial.
Okay. So let's think about coming up, make this an informative speech. Okay. The topic is for an informative speech. Let's first think about what would be, how would you word your specific purpose, and how would you word your thesis statement after that, very quickly. And you can identify a specific service, by the way, that, as you said, Anthony, could identify a specific service instead of general, you know, service. Just identify something specific, like the tutoring, as you said, or so, something else.
Excuse me. The specific purpose could be to inform the audience of the new tutoring service that's available in the library that will help offer them new, and I'm struggling here, writing.
Yeah, that's okay.
Writing tools for their papers, so editing, proofreading, brainstorming. So that would be the specific purpose. And then the thesis could be the tutoring service, the new tutoring service in the library are beneficial for increasing students' knowledge and writing skills for college level success.
Okay. Anyone want to do affirm or take away from any of what Anthony said?
I think you can also include in there and to assist with test preparation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, the thesis statement, normally, if you lay down very well, your main points often would come straight from that. Does that make sense? So if I said, okay, if I talk about how it will increase success, then I need to have a main point in there that talks about success and how, and then have supporting material that support that. Does that make sense? Because remember, yeah. Your thesis, what it does, it condenses the message into one sentence. So therefore, when I break down, I should be able to pick out those main points, you know, from that thesis, if I do a good job establishing that thesis.
So that thesis, okay? You can basically blow up that thesis into 2-3 points, like tutoring service is beneficial in writing skills, and like Julie said, test preparation, and then one more, and then just expand each one of those points to talk about them.
Well, if you didn't do that, if you say, for example, if you want to focus on the benefits of the tutoring service, right, then you could have a thesis that says, tutoring service is beneficial to college student, all right, something to that effect. Now, because this is a little bit more restricted in terms of how much information is in there, then you would have a preview statement that says, okay, it's beneficial in this way, that way, that way. Okay, you identify 3 areas that you want to show the benefit of the ring, and then those would be your main points, because you, the preview statement now, this is where the main points will come through. Okay?
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, so that it, just in case you don't want your thesis to be too long, okay, if you start adding too much to it, then it's tend to be too long. If you don't want that, then you can have the key thing in there is the benefit, and then you break it down into the preview. You know, unless, if, for example, if you only have 2 points and said it's beneficial in this and that, then it's probably okay. Well, you don't need an additional preview statement. But just in case you don't want the thesis to be too long, then you could have a separate preview after you state that key idea in there. Does that make sense?
Good stuff. That's helpful.
Okay, so this is basically when you do your working outline, for example, you would be including that. There is a sample working outline in your text, I think on page, was it 178, I think? It's in chapter 9, I think, there is a sample template for a working outline and a template for a formal outline. And then there is a completed formal outline at the end, the very end of chapter 9. So that would be what your formal outline would look like after you transition from the working outline to that formal outline. Okay, so take a look at those. So the thesis statement, the specific purpose, all those will be included on those outlines. Okay, so take a look at the format in terms of how it looks. Okay, so this is, at least we did one of those, so you can take a look at others and see how you can do with them. So since we've been going solid for a little bit over an hour and a half now, good pedagogy says we need to take a break. So let's go ahead and take a 15-minute break. And when we come back, we'll talk about supporting material, which means now we have the idea. We find our topic. We have our specific purpose and thesis statement. And we're going to at least have a skeleton outline probably after that as your working outline. Then putting flesh on the skeleton outline will be what we do for supporting material, looking at type of supporting material that you can search for. That's what we'll look at when we come back. Let's be back by 8:25. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Very good.